So today we're going to talk about words. Words are a powerful thing. I'm going to read some words that have gone wrong on church bulletins just to kind of lighten things up. It says, a senior choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys sinning, forgot the G, to join the choir. Barbara remains in hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. Yikes. Applications are now being accepted for 2-year-old nursery workers. I know, you got to think about that one. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. That's weird. The over 60s choir will be disbanded for the summer with thanks of the entire church. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Announcement to the Mums Who Care ladies group. There will be no Mums Who Care this week. I thought those were good. Those are examples of words gone wrong that we can laugh at. But often when words go wrong, it is not a laughing matter. Colossians 4:5-6 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Soft words sung in a lullaby will put a baby to sleep. Excited words can stir a mob to violence. Eloquent words will send armies marching into the face of death. Powerful words will mold the public mind as a sculptor molds clay. Words spoken or written are a dynamic force. Words are the swords we use in our battle for success and happiness. How others react towards us depends in a large measure upon the words we speak to them. Our words will live beyond us as they go through the years in the lives of all of those with whom we come in contact. An author had this words of wisdom. It says, words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate and to humble. The words we choose and how we use them can build others up or tear them down. I've got a couple of examples that have happened to me. When I was in school, I had a couple of young ladies, I probably was about grade 10, grade 11, and they questioned some of the clothing I had and just the way they came at it, and I harbored that forever. I mean, I always thought back on how those words hurt me. And my mom, this is a classic. My mother, we traveled across Canada. We quit our jobs and we traveled in 1991. And when we got to Winnipeg, we were telling my mom what we're doing and all this stuff. Well, she already knew, but I got there. And my brother and I have a younger brother, we were always in competition for jobs. Who's going to have the best job? Who's going to have that? And then when I went and we quit everything, and my mother said to me, well, you know, you'll be successful one day again, won't you? And I thought, wow, I mean, how does that compute? That really, and I carried that one along but I kind of laughed at that one because who cares? You know, we think of the words, the power we wield and the impact we make if we become more intentional and encouraging of our children. That goes back to what my mother said to me. It wasn't very encouraging. James 1:26 says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. 1 Peter 3:10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, with their lips from deceitful speech. Words make a difference. Think about your own life and how the words have affected you. The person who said you were ugly, stupid or incompetent. The person who said you had no talent. I was hired as a supervisor once upon a time, and again, when I got into the position, it was, I'm the boss, right? And I took that to the wrong degree. And I know that when I was asking people to do things, the way that I did it wasn't quite the way that God would want me to have to do it. So, I mean, I had a negative impact on the staff, but I learned from that because a lot of people... I had one fellow that I was working with when we were in Vancouver. He was a little older than me, and I came and told him what to do, and the way I told it, I guess, wasn't proper because he told me back what I should do. So I thought, yeah, that was good. But lesson learned. My dad, my dad and I didn't get along the greatest in my early life. And he was a policeman, and he belittled not just me. I have three brothers. We were all in the same boat. So, I mean, our dysfunctional family really kind of flourished under my dad, which is a bad thing to say. Again, words, if people tell you, I love you, people who say that you have a good character, those are good positive qualities. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. One careless statement can provoke or escalate a conflict. In tense situations, words can either diffuse or add fuel to the fire. Angry words, sharp words, aggressive words cause defenses to go up. Sarcasm, insults, and accusations cause a conflict to escalate. These words make us want to strike back. Conversely, very soft, kind, gentle words can diffuse a hostile situation. These words convey calm, peace, and even love and concern. Words can destroy. Proverbs 11, verse 9. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. I wonder how many people have had their reputation tarnished or ruined by a lie. I wonder how many marriages have been put at risk by false accusations and innuendo. I wonder how many spirits have been crushed by a mean comment. I wonder how many people have stopped working hard because someone failed to encourage them. We live in a small community. One word of gossip can move faster than a fire on Main Street. Words can destroy a reputation, a person's business. It can destroy their witness. In ancient Greece, Socrates had a reputation of great wisdom. One day someone came to find the great philosopher and said to him, "Do you know what I heard about your friend?" "A moment," replied Socrates. "Before you tell me, I would like to test you the three sieves." "The three sieves?" "Yes," continued Socrates. "Before telling anyone about the others, it's good to take the time to filter what you mean. I call it the test of the three sieves. The first sieve is the truth. Have you checked if what you are going to tell me is the truth?" "No, I just heard it." "Very good. So you don't know if it's true. We continue with the second sieve, that of kindness. What you tell to me about my friend, is it good?" "Oh, no, on the contrary." "So," questioned Socrates, "you want to tell me bad things about him, and you're not even sure if they're true. Maybe you can still pass the test of the third sieve, that of utility. Is it useful that I know what you're going to tell me about this friend?" "Not really." "So," concluded Socrates, "what are you going to tell me? So what you're going to tell me is neither true, nor good, nor useful. Why then did you want to tell me this?" "Gossip is a bad thing. In the beginning, it may seem enjoyable and fun. In the end, it fills our hearts with bitterness and poisons us too." Why do we speak harshly to one another? Why do these words come so easily to our mouths? I don't know what the reason is, but I am guessing that strong, aggressive, harsh words are not the sign of a healthy and confident person, but just the opposite. And when we see these things in ourselves, we must remember that Christ came to save us from sin, such as this. He not only wants to cleanse us from our foolish words of the past, he wants to set us free from this kind of behavior in the future. Words can also be healing. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. So we need to learn to speak with grace. We need to let God change us. I don't want you walking out of here today resolving that you are not going to say bad things so that you can go to heaven, because we know that isn't going to work. It hasn't worked for me for a long time. It's a struggle, I think, that every human being goes through. That resolve will end up in a sense of frustration and defeat. We don't go to heaven because of what we say or what we don't say. Our residence in heaven is determined by who we trust. So the first thing we need to do is to be people who speak with grace is to experience God's transforming grace ourselves. God must change us from the inside out. A growing relationship with the Lord is a key factor in our new relationship with others. We need to listen more. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." James tells us that we should listen more than we speak, and he's right. If we want to speak words that are appropriate for every situation, we need to understand what the situation really is. Have you ever been in one of those conversations where one person was doing all of the talking and wouldn't let anyone else speak? Usually in these settings, the one person may venture a comment now and then, but be completely run over by the other. Unfortunately, we would have to admit that we have been on both sides of the conversation. Have you ever had someone talking to you and just tuned them out? You didn't care, you didn't want to listen? Are you doing that now? I thought I'd throw that in. If we want to speak with grace, we must listen. If we take time to listen, we will learn from others. We will understand. We will see others' pain. We will be less likely to overreact and jump to conclusions, and we will grow. If we want to grow, we must listen. If we want to speak words that are appropriate to every situation, we need to listen so that we know what the situation really is. Control your anger. Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. More hurtful words are spoken when we are angry than at any other time. In times of anger, we want to strike out at another. Unfortunately, those words can never be taken back. They sink deep inside the other and leave scars that will be quick to heal. Here's some ways to control anger. As I alluded to before, I mean, you have somebody says something to you that hurts and you carry it forward. I mean, that's happened to all of us. I know that, you know, just it does not build you up. It crushes you. That's exactly what it can do. And, you know, how do you get over that? God will help you get over that. Pray that we will do that. So some ways that we can use to control our anger is we can wait. Let yourself cool off before you speak. This will give you time to think rather than react. I'm terrible for just, somebody says something and I'm back at them right away, and then as soon as I've done it, or not a lot of times as I've done it, I'll go, oh, I should have waited because I can't take back what I said, and that's not good. We must remember that we will most often react with words that are from our old nature and that our new life, rather than in our new life in Christ. Speak softly. Anger is fed by an increase in volume. So I'll speak very softly now. When someone shouts at you, it is natural to shout back. This escalates the situation rather than resolves it. Speak softly and take down barriers. Attack problems, not the people. When we are angry, this line becomes blurry because we will attack the individual instead of dealing with the situation. Ask God to help us when the temperature begins to rise. We dare not trust ourselves when we get angry. The old vicious person is not buried as deep as we think. Pick your words carefully. Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. You've probably heard that a good salesman knows how to say things so that they are flattering rather than alienating. The shoe salesman learns early on that a woman's foot is not too big for the shoe. The shoe is too small for the foot. Some call it tact. Yeah, and there's another word for it. Some call it tact. It is the fine. As Larry would say, that would be bovine excrement, but I wasn't going to use that today. Some call this tact. It is the fine art of saying truthful things in a way that is not offensive or abrasive. Chuck Swindoll says this about fact. The classic example of tactless humility, I'm ashamed to declare, is the abrasive Christian, so-called, who feels it is his or her calling to fight for the truth with little or no regard for the other fellow's feelings. Of course, this is supposedly done in the name of the Lord. To do anything less would be compromise and counterfeit. This individual plows through the feelings of people like a John Deere tractor. Sorry, Dick, I know you're not here, but we're not picking on you. Leaving them buried in the dirt, and worst of all, deeply offended. Put the spotlight on the other person. To be honest, and I'm reading this, but this is me. I love talking about my own life, plans, and activities. I think we all do. If you want to make an impact, choose to ask someone about their life and listen. Think about how affirming it is when someone takes the time to walk up to you and ask you, how you doing? Think about what it means when someone says they have been praying for you and wonder how a particular situation was going. What does it mean? Something? Because it shows that the other person noticed you, and not only did they notice you, they cared for you. We can learn a lot from others, but we won't learn anything until we give them a chance to speak. So these are some of the conclusions. The early preacher, Jonathan Edwards, resolved in life that he wanted to be there to be something of benevolence in all that he said. What a worthwhile goal that is for all of us. You see, in every conversation we choose, whether we are going to affirm the positive or dwell on the negative, spotlight the growth or the weakness, celebrate the victories or rehash the failures, encourage, give courage to another, or discourage, take courage from another, think the worst or assume the best, draw them to Christ or push them away. And what we choose will make a difference in someone's life one way or another. Here are 7 specific things that you can do this week. If you see you have a problem with your speaking, which I'm doing right now, look at your heart. Is it possible that your words are tipping you off to the fact that you need to evaluate your relationship with God? Is it possible that you are playing with God and never have seriously given your life and hope to Him? If that is the case, focus on step 1, trusting Jesus Christ for your salvation. Check the Word of God. Talk to Christian friends. Don't continue living in futility any longer. I lost my place. Ask God to make you more sensitive to those around you. Pray that He would help you see others with His eyes. Think about the person that has encouraged you in the past, a teacher that may even be way back in preschool or kindergarten, a friend, a parent, or someone else. Take the time to write them a note, give them a call, say thanks. Be as specific as you can. By doing so, you will encourage them more than you would know. Set out each day to learn something new about some of the people you see every day. Ask questions, show interest, pay attention, listen to the old stories for the new meanings. Set out with the express purpose of catching people who are doing it right. Look for things that affirm in others. Unfortunately, we will see the failures with no problem. We've had years of training. It takes me back to my working life. I remember when I was in management, we had the one-minute manager book that I think probably most of you are familiar with. And it was, you catch somebody doing something right. You always, you know, and even if you're going to go negative, hit a positive, then a negative. I mean, it was kind of a tool, but, I mean, it was an effective tool that worked, because it was sure nice to have somebody say, hey, you did a good job in this, but you knew the but was coming, but at least you kind of went, yeah, I'm not getting crushed. So before you do these things, you need to know something. If you live this way, you will have people around you all the time. They will tell you their problems. They will share your joys. They will open their hearts. It will be exhausting, but it will be exhilarating. You need to stay close to the Lord. You will need his strength. But there's a flip side also. You see, if you do these things, you will also share his joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the words that you have shown us this morning, Lord. We pray that we can put these into practice, and that we will be kind to people and think before we speak. Lord, that we will care about others more than we care about ourselves in some cases. Lord, we just ask that you would bless us. God, I just want to pray, you know, for right now for our governments too, Lord. I just ask that you ask them to think about us in all cases, that some of the things that are happening are unfortunate, Lord, but is still in your plan. We just trust that you will direct them and help them to look after us. In your name we pray. Amen.